Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Okay, I just want to speak to you a word I spoke in our church last week. You know, when you come back, we actually had about 3 weeks off church over the Christmas time, and that was our first Sunday back. And often people are like, you know, the New Year's thing, like, oh, what am I going to be doing in 2018? And thinking about it. And I was thinking about my message, and I felt God speak to me out of the book of Jonah, strangely enough. And I've never preached on this before. I do love the Old Testament, but I felt it was very significant for 2018, and I feel it's significant for your church too. So I'm just going to read the story out of the Message Bible. If you can put the scriptures up, of Jonah. One day long ago, God's word came to Jonah, Amittai's son. Up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh. Preach to them. They're in a bad way and I cannot ignore it any longer. But Jonah got up and went in the other direction, Tarshish, running away from God. He went down to the port of Joppa and found a ship headed for Tarshish. He paid the fare and went on board, joining those who were going to Tarshish, as far away from God as he could get. But God sent a huge storm, the waves towering. The ship was about to break into pieces. The sailors were terrified. They called out in desperation to their gods. They threw everything they were carrying overboard to lighten the ship. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down to the hold of the ship to take a nap. He was sound asleep. The captain came to him and said, "What's this? Sleeping? Get up. Pray to your God. Maybe your God will see we're in trouble and rescue us." Then the sailors said to one another, "Let's go to get to the bottom of this. Let's draw straws to identify the culprit on the ship who's responsible for this disaster." It's only the Western world that deals in science. Do you know that? It's not only the Western world. But the Western world would be dealing in science. A lot of other people groups actually say, there is a reason for this. We need to consult our gods. More, we have a Western worldview will often just rule that out and say it's the nautical bearing of this and that and the other thing. But the natural thing for people in the ancient world, and probably in our culture too, and in a lot of culture still, is to actually say, what is going on here? And as Christians, you know, we don't want to get too ridiculous about it, but we need to be saying, what is going on here? Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's draw straws. That would be so scary, wouldn't it? Identify the culprit and think, look, is it me? Responsible for this disaster. So they drew straws, and guess who got the short straw? The son of the prophet Amittai, Jonah. Then they grilled him. Confess. Why this disaster? What is your work? They had a little bit more idea of the kind of person he was, and I think he did at that point in time. Where do you come from? What country? What family? He said, I'm a Hebrew. I worship God, the God of heaven and earth, who made sea and land. Well, quite frankly, at that moment, he was not worshipping God. He was down in his bunk feeling sorry for himself, probably depressed. So he spoke that out. But he wasn't worshipping God at that point in time. The God of heavens, who made the sea and the land, at that time the men got frightened. They got really frightened because all knew about the Israelites' God. "What on earth have you done?" they said. I feel he was feeling uncomfortable. As Jonah talked, the sailors realized he would. They realized he was running away from God. They said to him, "What are we to do with you to get rid of the storm?" By this time, the sea was wild, totally out of control. Jonah said, "Throw me overboard into the sea. Then the storm will stop." He'd realized that he was the problem. "It's all my fault. I'm the cause of the storm." He's taking some personal responsibility finally. By this time, the sea was wild, totally out of control. Blah, blah, I've just done that twice. "But no, the men didn't want you because they feared the God of Israel. And they said, if we throw you overboard, we're not sure what could happen. They tried rowing back to shore. They made no headway. The storm only got worse, wild and raging. Then they prayed to God, "Oh God." Now I think by this time they were praying to God of Israel. "Oh God, don't let us drown because of this man's life. And don't blame us for his death. You are God, do what you think best." At that point, they were more obedient than Jonah. They took Jonah, threw him overboard. Immediately, the storm quieted down. The sailors were impressed, no longer terrified of the sea, but in fear of God. They worshipped God. You see, it's actually, we do worship singing, but when they come, there's another kind of worship that we do when we see the greatness of God. When they came through the Red Sea, they spontaneously worshipped. And I think that's how our lives have to be. Worship is actually our lifestyle. It should be our lifestyle. And, you know, I think, wherever you are, you can slip off into the loo or something if you don't want to do it in front of your workmates, but worship God. When you see answers to prayer, worship God. Worship Him. He's the Creator. We're the created. So what's the context here? Jonah was a prophet. The word of the Lord came to him. "Up on your feet, on your way to the big city of Nineveh. Preach to them, tell them they're in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer." When did the word of God last come to you? Sometimes we're looking 2018, what's the word this year? And sometimes the Holy Spirit is saying, "You haven't actually heeded the word I gave you last year. You haven't actually heeded the word I gave you 20 years ago. You've been running away from God." Yeah. I mean, obviously, not many people. You see, Nineveh is modern-day Mosul in the middle of Iraq. So what God was telling him to do was pretty flippin' scary. He was saying, now these people in Mosul had tried to wipe the Israelites off the earth 3 times. He was saying, "You go, Jonah, it's very obvious you're a Hebrew. You go into the middle of the town square with your American baseball cap on and you start preaching." So he was scared, and he had every right to be scared. It was a frightening place. They worshipped the god Nimrod. It was violent. There was every kind of depravity there. So that's, I think that in itself, we would be frightened, wouldn't we? But I wonder what was going on in Jonah's life before that. Because he was the son of a prophet. He probably understood a lot about a prophet's job. He probably knew at times that you'd be asked to do difficult things. And yet, he ran away. So what state was he in when he got the word of the Lord? You see, sometimes God can be speaking to us, but because of the state we're in, we don't want to hear it. We actually white noise it out. You know, just personally, God's been speaking to me about the last 3 years about something, and I can share it here. I couldn't share it in my own church, because they don't be scared then, and they wouldn't talk to me. But we're flying out tomorrow, so... God's been speaking to me, giving me dreams, really telling me not to be involved in intense pastoral care anymore, that he's really wanting me to study the word more, to preach more, to help lead the vision we have in our church. But because I'm very comfortable, I have been up to date doing pastoral care, and people like to talk to me, my fear is that people might think I'm unkind. So often fear stops us from doing what God's told us. But what happens to me? Storms come up. You know, I was involved with two women who had very, very messy lives. And last year I ended up feeling exhausted. That was my storm. What is it that God's been speaking to you about that you keep pushing away and then you're wondering, why is this happening to me? You see, interesting to see that God sent the storm. We like to think the devil sends the storms. Oh, he likes to send storms too. But God's intention in any storm, whether it's sent by the enemy or by him, is for us to cry out to him. And say, "Is there something I need to change?" Sometimes it's nothing you're doing. There are some storms that are called life. But if you're going around Groundhog Day, I wonder if you need to say, what am I missing here?
Yeah, that's right.
What am I missing? What was the word of the Lord to me? Sometimes it's to go, and sometimes the word of the Lord is to stay. And sometimes it's to let go of a good thing. I mean, I thought, well, that's... And the dreams he keeps giving me is because I've been a nurse for 40 years, is I keep going back to the hospital, and this is very graphic, but I have to keep cleaning up the pop off the floor. And I'm like, oh, look, you know, I have to keep doing this, you know. And that's not related to people to cook, but... But he doesn't want me to hurt that anymore because he loves me and he knows it's actually going to take me out of ministry if I keep doing it. And I'm not using the talents. I repented last week. I said, I don't want to preach again. I said that about 3 months ago. I said, no, I'm over preaching. No, I don't preach again. He's like, don't be ridiculous. But it was because I was exhausted through these intense pastoral situations. And I couldn't say that to people I can't see anymore. Well, of course I won't say that to them, but I know now, and I'm going to say to our leaders, and we need to provide someone else, I can't do that anymore. I won't be able to get involved in that, regardless of how jolly good I'm at it. There might be things you are very good at, but they might be stopping you doing things that you're amazing at. You see, and there's Jonah. He didn't want to do this, but he's the son of the prophet. He's obviously a prophet. That's the way it usually worked. And God, in his great mercy, said, go to Nineveh. You see, we can be so super spiritual. Do you know when you put your hand up for Jesus to be your Saviour and Lord, he can say to us, go to Nineveh. You actually said yes when you said yes to Jesus. But we are so addicted to comfort. This is going, oh, this is, no, I'll wait till I've got enough money. I'll wait till I've done this. I'll wait till I've done that. I'm not experienced enough. But God wanted to send him to Nineveh. What's your Nineveh? Is it to go out amongst a group of people that you don't normally mix with and actually be friendly to them? Some of us struggle to walk across the road to do that. I love the Bible is so graphic. The sailors were terrified. That must have been some storm. For these seasoned sailors to be terrified. What I love in this whole story was how the sailors provoked Jonah. When they saw the God of Israel bringing about miracles of calming the sea, they worshipped him. What is God requiring of you that may cause you to get out of your comfort zone? Because I don't know about you, but I'm addicted to comfort. And it was comfortable for me to think that I was the most, for people to think I was the most amazing pastoral person. That's the problem, isn't it? But God in his grace sent me a couple of storms. So I would see I'm not to keep doing it. Because he's given me talents he wants me to use for this season in the church.
Yeah.
But it's been 3 years. After dream, after dream, after dream, after dream. Yeah. Now come on, Phil. That's a brag here. You see, because Jonah knew God. We know God as our Saviour. Do we know him as our Lord? Do we realise that when we actually say, I give over my life to you, that he may say to us, go to Nineveh. But it won't be Jonah's Nineveh. It'll be your Nineveh. And then we do all this kind of, you know, people like, you know, we're bargaining with God and all that, and I think, ooh. Well, hey, I've just been doing it too. But you can always say, woo, about everyone else. Like, oh no, I just need to tell the processes. You ran away from the presence of the Lord. It's not actually possible to run away from the presence of the Lord. It said, if I go down to the ditch, you're there.
Yeah, that's right.
He tried to hide himself. There he was in the bottom of the flipping boat when it was just about being blown apart. What lengths we go to actually not do what God is calling us to do sometimes. What is God calling you to do? You are coming into a new season. This is a new season in Compass. What is God asking you to do? Because I reckon there are going to be many people come into your church who might make you feel uncomfortable. You know, we have our church is going really well. We planted it. There were 20 people 5 years ago, and it's 200 now. We're envious, envious, envious about the building you've got. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing, and I just commend your leadership and all of you for getting behind it. Build the building, they'll come. They will surely come. We're in a church that a prophet came into. He said, this church is a womb. It's not big enough for what needs to be birthed here. He meant the physical church. We're 200 people, I think we can only up in that auditorium. And we're thinking, what are we going to do? But because we can't stand the thought of a building program, I'm just being all honest. Because we don't have, I'm 65, but I don't want to do it. I'm running away from God. I'm at the bottom of the boat. They might have to throw me overboard. I believe there's someone coming into our an assistant pastor that's going to have, that we will be able to do something. But the prophet also said there's a building near you that you'll be able to use. So, but I just, I'm madly, ridiculously excited about your building. I'm a very, very enthusiastic person, as you might have picked up. But so these sailors called out to their gods. Do you call out to God when there's a storm? Or do you actually get self-referential and just keep thinking about the rotten storm you're in? Or do you cry out to God? You see, often I believe we have storms in our lives. You see, and there's this other scripture that said, no matter what you go through, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. He will always give you a way out. Now, I sometimes, you know, in this pastoring, counselling, we meet people in quite difficult situations, and at times we can see, actually, there's some things you can do that could change this. But often people say, no, I can't. No, I can't. And we're thinking to ourselves, the pain is going to continue. Sometimes it's something like being in a job that's very, very oppressive. But you're like, I can't. Because we all struggle to trust God, don't we, at times? And in our own lives, we have an autistic son who's 35 now, and he's severely autistic. And he lived at home with us until he was 14. And he was violent with us. He used to bite us, scratch us. He made his brother's lives a misery. And our friends, our very good friends, came to us and said, you two can't do this any longer. But we're like, no, no, no. Who else could look after Gregory like us? So she said, I think you two are going to have a breakdown. You're actually going to hit the wall and it's going to take a long time to recover. So over again, it took us a long time because we couldn't see that that was God's way out. You see, Jonah couldn't see that because God was giving him that call, that he would provide for that call.
Yeah, that's right.
And we couldn't see it. And so we went stressed, we were both in a bad way. Gregory just got more difficult. But because we loved this boy so much and we thought we're the only ones who can understand him. And how, now I think this is a common thing, how could it be God's will for Gregory to live outside our family? But God said he provides a way of escape. I mean, Gregory's illness is not God's will, I don't believe. I believe it's part of the fall.
Yeah.
And once for an eternity, and Gregory is talking and smiling and laughing, this will seem like that. But I don't want to minimize it. It has been incredibly difficult and incredibly painful. And he's more settled these days, but it's still a constant, you know, we do think about him and are concerned for him. And that'll go on, you know. But what happened was, like, we were pastoring the church, but we just felt so burnt out because of what was happening in our home, that finally, we took, God said to me, I have promised you a way out. It will not be what you think. Because we're very prescribed about what we will and won't allow God to do. That couldn't be God. I mean, if you are in an abusive marriage, I believe, that's not showing any sign of improving, I believe God allows you to leave. We can get out the scriptures and go on to people, but what kind of God? You know, if someone's got mad cow disease, does he yoke you up to them and let them take you over the hill as well? And I hold marriage in very high regard. Very high regard. You see, there are ways out. Sometimes people are looking after elderly parents and they're exhausted and they don't want to put them into care. But that's God's mercy, I believe. That is God's mercy. But sometimes we have this ideal view of what we should be doing. And we're living under a yoke that's not from Jesus. He said his yoke is easy, his burden is light. It's still a yoke, so we're working with him. But if you imagine big ox and little ox, because Jesus is big ox, but if little ox has got too much on them, their head goes down, they actually cannot see where they go. If you are feeling this morning that you are feeling so troubled inside, there is a way out. And it may not be to leave the situation, it may be that you need more support and help in the situation. And sometimes we need to humble ourselves. Because everyone used to say to us, you two are so amazing looking after Gregory. And they actually say, well, no, we're not actually. You know, they're like, oh, it's fantastic. And like, I'd like you to have this kind of fantastic one day. And you must be specially chosen. That's the favourite. Because you know what they're really saying? You're so special it couldn't happen to me. That's what they're worried about. That it could happen to them. But no, we weren't fantastic, we were exhausted. But God. We came through intact. Gregory went into care. It was very painful. But it was very wonderful. And I thank God for the caregivers. Jesus is sinner, I often say. They may not acknowledge God, but they are made in his image and they're carrying out compassion in because of that. So back to Jonah. Throwing the overboard, very courageous. The sailors throwing their cargo overboard was pretty courageous because they were taking all the grain or whatever they were taking. That was their livelihood. You see, when you get into difficult circumstances, a lot of things don't matter. You realise that difficult circumstances and storms are a great leveler. So you can jettison some cargo. And Jonah became very courageous then and said, I'm the cause of this trouble. He took personal responsibility. I'm the cause of this throwing overboard. And the fear of the sailors, but then they did. But then their response to God was incredible. And I think God wants us to see that when we come through storms, we need to be worshipping. Thank you, God, that I didn't have a breakdown. Thank you, God, that you had a place for Gregory or for whatever. Thank you, God, that you gave me a way out. I didn't see at the time, but there's always a way out. Thank you that you sustained us and our hearts are full of joy. Thank you that we come to the out of the storm full of joy because we know now who our God is. When Job went through his troubles, before that, he said, before my ear heard of you, but now my eyes see you. Once we go through a storm in our life, No one wants them. Who's putting their hand up for them? No one wants storms, unless you're quite strange. But, but when he came through that, he saw who he was, and he saw who he was in relationship to God. Is your life crazy busy? Do something about it. Sometimes crazy busy is worn like a badge. How are you? I'm incredibly busy. And I met my pastor and he said that to me and I said, oh, you must like being busy then. He said, no. I said, well, he's our age. He said, you can do something about it. Maybe it's because you're not handing off enough things. Maybe it's because you're not delegating. Maybe because you like to do it your own self. Team.
Yeah.
It's about team. No one has, God has not created anyone to be able to do everything on their own. We need team. If you're too busy, go home tonight and write down what you can do about it. Your children don't have to go to sports 7 days a week. They don't. You know, perhaps if I'd done that, I would have made the Olympic team, but they don't. It's the only thing that held me back, of course. We create our own business at times. And God's trying to say to us, there's a way out. But we run in the opposite direction. I've got to do this. Everyone depends upon me. If I don't do this, what will happen? If you drop dead tomorrow, some of those things are going to continue. They're finding that hard, I know. Truly, they are. No one is indispensable to the point of their health. Their mental health, their spiritual health, their emotional health. There are busy seasons in life that you can't do anything about when you've got young children. But don't fill your life up with extra things at that time. God gives grace for each season. So then what's happening? Jonah. He's thrown into the sea. The sea quietens down and it says, and God provided a fish. And a whole lot of people get really uptight about whether this is allegorical or whether this is this or that. But Jesus actually used the example in Matthew about his resurrection. He said, for 3 days and three nights, like Jonah in the belly of the whale. It would have been pretty ghastly in there, don't you think? Really ghastly. You don't know what else would have thought that day. It would have been horrific. He would have been bleached by the hydrochloric acid probably, which would have made it a little bit more difficult when he went to sleep to the people. Looking like a jerk. And he cried out to God from the belly of the whale. Let me just read it with you. Then Jonah, it had taken a while, hadn't it? Even though he'd spoken to the sailors and taken personal responsibility, I think it was Phil who was saying yesterday, it's one thing to be self-aware, it's another thing to act upon it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So Jonah knew he was the cause of the trouble, but the time and the way it kind of helped him. He prayed to God from the belly of the fish. He prayed, I'm in trouble, deep trouble. Sounds like he was actually texting. Get me out of here. I prayed to God, he answered me from the belly of the grave. Life can feel like that at times, that you're like in a grave, that there's a deadness. People who struggle with suicidal ideation and mental health can feel so desperate, they can think death is better. I have great compassion for anyone. I just can't bear to think that anyone would feel that bad, that they would suppress the instinct to live, which is so primal and so strong in us all. And in our country, our suicide statistics are horrific. I don't know about yours. He answered me from the belly of the grave. I cried, help! You heard me. You threw me into the ocean's depths, into a watery grave. Because I think when he went overboard, he thought he was going to die. I don't think he was thinking about, you know, writing about what he's going to be doing next week. He thought that was certain death for him. Ocean breakers crashing over. I said, I've been thrown out of your sight. I'll never again say yes to your holy temple. The ocean gripped me by the throat. It's very, very descriptive language. But he's not understating what was happening. The ancient abyss grabbed me and held me tight. My head was all tangled at the bottom of the sea. Where the mountains take root, it was as far down as a body can go. And the gates were slamming behind me forever. Yet, you pulled me up from that grave. My prayer got through to you, all the way to your holy temple. Those who worship hollow gods walk away from their only true love. But I am worshipping you. I'm calling out in thanksgiving, and I'll do what I promised to do. Salvation belongs to God. Perhaps you have said, I believe in Jesus. But have you actually handed over all your finances, all your life, all your family, and said, direct me, Jesus? Is he your Lord? See, Jonah knew him as Saviour. Now he's acknowledging that he's his Lord. Whatever you want to do, salvation belongs to God. And he was acknowledging then that he'd go to Nineveh. We know he had a few more problems after he went. But he was acknowledging this then. What in this speaks to you? Is it the fact that Jonah had the word of the Lord and he ran away from it? I believe there's someone in here who's had a mission call on their life for many, many years. But that's never been the right time. There's never a right time. And you need to say yes to God. Because your life, you may find, and you don't need to come up the phone or anything, that you need to do business with God and maybe speak to someone else in the church. And you've possibly felt a bit disappointed with the way your life has been. But it's never too late. He was in the belly of the whale and he turned around. It's never too late. He's the God of a second chance. He is so gracious. He is so loving. It said, you know, I put you in the Song of Songs. Your love is a seal upon my heart. Your love is stronger than the grave. Your love is stronger than the grave. And you know, sometimes Jonah allowed himself to go down to Joppa and get the ship. Sometimes we can do this whole, well, the ship was there, so I got on it. That's circumstantial guidance. It was never God's will. God worked through it. He worked with it. That's circumstantial guidance. As you mature as Christians, God's very gracious. But as you mature, he wants you to know the peace of God. Because the circumstances can all line up and you may not still have the peace of God. It says in Colossians that the peace of God rule in your heart like an umpire. You've got tennis on this week, some of you lay out in whatever. The peace of God is true guidance. Of course he can arrange, you know, the green frog to sit on the grey rock at 2 o'clock in the morning and be playing a ukulele. He can do that. And sometimes I find people say, you know, and it is important to get scriptures, and it is important, but some people are waiting for the aeroplane to do 2 flips in the sky and have their name on it before they move. Go to Nineveh. Because our God is so gracious. You see, they were wicked people, but he said, I can't bear it any longer. It wasn't just their wickedness he couldn't bear. He couldn't bear that they weren't touched by his love. And they made a statue to Jonah in that town. And I think in 2014, Islamic terrorists knocked down that statue. That's how much it affected that part of the world, that there was actually a statue to the Prophet Jonah. I'm not sure if anyone's going to make a statue of me at any stage. But I'm happy to give them some pictures.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.